Welcome to Club Dave, where it only rains when we say so. Club Dave へようこそ。ここでは私たちが雨を降らせます。
Roth Radio. Roth Radio. We have a very special guest waiting up on the phone here. I'm David Lee Roth. I got my sister Lisa Roth here. Lisa, do you have any questions for our next celeb?
Well, I'll let you take the lead, and I'm sure I'll interject. I'm excited to talk to him.
This is somebody that everybody's familiar with, but I don't know if it's the subject matter is what they're familiar with yet, because he's got a whole career he's leading off with here. His name is Kevin Federline, and Kevin's on the air. Kevin, can you hear me there?
Yeah, man. How you doing?
Kevin, welcome to the world of New York City showbiz. Where are you calling us from?
I'm at home in Malibu, man.
Oh, I'm jealous. What time is it there? It's like way early in the morning.
Yeah, bro. It's about 6 o'clock.
And did you stay up or did you wake up?
I just woke up.
Oh, this sounds like you're doing the press march here. What is it that you're advertising? You have a new single out. What's the name of that?
Pobo Zao.
Fala Portuguese?
Say it again.
Fala Portuguese.
Yeah.
No, you don't. It's Portuguese. what does Pobo Zao mean in Portuguese?
Means big ass.
How did you arrive at a Portuguese title? This is a great title, man. It even looks brilliant on paper. I'm not kidding you. How did you arrive at that title?
Actually, the producer, he lives out in Brazil part-time. So when he came out here, he played me a bunch of baile funk tracks.
Oh, and have you actually been to Brazil yourself, or are you a fan of that kind of music at all? Is that anything you care about?
I'm a fan. Fan of the music. I'm going out there to shoot the video. It'll be my first time.
Oh, now I'm extra jealous. Where are you going in Brazil? O meu novo amigo. Where?
Probably about Sao Paulo.
Rio?
Yeah, Rio.
Okay, the two hottest spots are amazing stuff. Lise, you got a question for Kevin here?
No, continue. I'm interested.
Well, he's got a new song out, and we played that a little bit earlier, and we're going to play it again in a little bit. When do you go to do the video, Kevin?
Probably in like 3 weeks. I'm looking at directors right now.
Oh, man. Are you in charge of like picking and choosing? Are you going to be sitting in the editing and so forth?
Everything, man. Yeah, I want to co-direct it.
Oh, that's excellent. Have you co-directed any videos before?
No. All I've done is that TV show that me and my wife did.
Oh, because, you know, making videos is as hard as this. Just put on the Super Bowl game, turn the sound off, put on the latest Metallica album, and it'll make perfect sense to you.
Yeah.
Do you have a vision for this video?
Yeah, tell us what the storyline is.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to give it completely away, but we're going to be partying out there, man.
Okay.
So a lot of big asses.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we'll floss our teeth with those G-strings. Now, is this a whole album, Kevin, that's coming up here? Do you have a whole album? Do you write these songs, or are you working in tandem? Is it four white boys and a microphone, or how does the song go?
Yeah, it's the whole album. I got a whole album. I've been writing all my music. I'm still going.
How long does it take you to write a song? One song's worth of lyrics. How long does it take you?
It could take me up to 3-4 days.
And what's the general? Is there a general subject matter? Like Bono is trying to save the world. Well, are you trying to save something, or do you have a vision? Is there a message to what you're doing?
Well, it just kind of explains a little bit about my life and situations that I've been in lately with the press and stuff like that.
What kind of situations you've been in with the press? Is this like conflict you're discussing?
Yeah, conflict.
Share it. What's up?
Well, I mean, just, you know, they put me out there to look as one way, which is completely wrong. I'm here to prove them wrong.
Oh, how is it they're depicting you right now? Seriously. How do they depict you?
I mean, I don't pick up all the magazines all the time, so.
Well, what is it you're trying to deflect?
Sure.
What's the image that you don't want the public to
What is it specifically consume? You're trying to change? What is it you would like folks to know? You got 7 million people listening to you right now. What is it you would like them to know that they don't know?
Man, just that I'm not this person that they put me out there to be. You know, I'm not this guy that runs around and cheats on his wife and does. Oh.
Did you just lose it? Did you just disconnect my thing there? I think you just disconnected Kevin Federline. That's like ending Christmas early.
That's the same line that fell off before.
Is it?
Yeah.
Anyway, Roth Radio.
We'll get him back.
Hey, at least we're not in a turbine helicopter.
I am actually interested in this interview.
I'm fascinated. No, he's got a vision. He's got a serious vision here, whether you're familiar with his work or not. I don't know what his previous work is. See if you can get Kevin. Did he just hang up on me?
No.
He was in the middle of a verb.
Yes, the line just fell off, but they'll get him back.
Okay, anyways, we're talking to Kevin Federline. In fact, Lise, why don't you go ahead and you be me, and I'll be Kevin, and I'll just answer the questions appropriately until we get him back on the line. Go ahead,
I'll say, okay. Oh, there you go.
Kevin, are you there?
Hey, did we lose you guys?
Yeah.
Who is that? That sounds like the press chick.
This is the press chick. I'll put him back through.
Please.
Thank you.
Anyways, Popo Zhao is his new album. It's actually the name of the first single. And that looks cool on print. P-O-P-O-Z-A-O. That's Portuguese for big butt. Popo Zhao is how you say Zhao. Say like the Nunji Prado, Nunji Tino, Popo Zhao. Like that. I'm still waiting to meet Gisele Bündchen and speak to her in her natural language. Kevin, are you back with us?
Yeah, I'm here, brother.
No prob. It's the miracle of cell phones or whatever. So people give you a hard time for going out and carrying on, supposedly, while your wife is pining away, lonesome-like at home. I don't buy it. Talk to that, if you would.
I'm here with her.
Are you true blue? How many times, for example, when your wife got pregnant, how many times did you actually go out to a club or whatever, realistically?
Maybe two, three.
Well, there you go. See, you're a man. You're a better man than I am, because I think that all work and no play leads to alarmingly predictable conversation. I think you got to go live some life. Is your wife supportive of all this?
Oh yeah, man.
Well, not oh yeah, because there's a lot of spouses who are hit really, really jealous, especially when one becomes more famous or more popular than the other. And it sounds to me like you're really poised for something. Your name, your face, your sound, that record is everywhere now. Your flavor of the month, man, and it sounds like you're poised to go somewhere. What is Britney's next thing? I read somewhere about Broadway. Can you speak to that?
She's not doing the Broadway thing.
Oh, how come?
She kind of wants to spend more time with the baby and stuff.
And it's a lot of words to remember. I'm not kidding. You got to learn a whole lot of other people's music, a whole lot of whatever.
Exactly.
Now, when you go, are you going to go on stage? Are you going to tour this, Kevin? Is there the Federline Express going to make it across from coast to coast?
Oh, yeah.
I love it. And when do you predict that might have liftoff?
Probably in the next couple months here.
I love it. And is this going to be a multimedia extravaganza, mind-roasting, retina-burning, I'm hoping?
Yeah.
and will it be a, like, simple? Or are you going to go full-blast Star Trek with dancers and screens and color and whatnot? What's your approach?
I'm going to start off real simple. But
I like that.
I'll get to be able to do a big stage show here.
Hey. Well, you were a dancer yourself, weren't you?
Yeah, for a while.
So you'll have the moves, huh?
Are you going to choreograph it yourself?
I guess if you could choreograph it, it's going to be about as choreographed chaos as you could get.
Choreographed chaos? I like that term.
Well, with that kind of music, South American music, that'll look good.
Oh, totally. Are you kidding? And you know what? When people give you a hard time, Kevin, I'm going to tell you a little something I seen on the TV set not long ago. You familiar with Timberlake? You ever met Justin?
Yeah.
I've met him a couple times. And my taste for his general music is not as good and is not as impressive to me as his general taste in actresses. You know what I'm saying. But he walked out on that show for the SARS benefit up at the Rolling Stones, right? And the Rolling Stones played, I think it was 45,000 people at Toronto Stadium up there. And when they said, you know, they had all the classic rockers, it was the Stones and Bob Seger or whoever. And they said, oh, we got Justin Timberlake. It was a different generation. And a number of people booed. And I even sat there and said, he's never going to stack up. And you know what? That kid walked up there, and when he started his song, he did his new single, and he blew away. Everybody else backstage, chew this, homie. Ooh, it was so smooth. It was even beyond the quality of the music. And he was extraordinary on stage. Really sang the stuff, really broke the moves, and put everybody else to shame. I think you have a chance at that. What do you think?
Yeah, man, definitely.
Poof. Are you actually going to sing the vocals yourself, or are you going to use some tape?
No way, man. I'm doing it live for sure.
I don't mind tape. Hey, if it sounds good, it is good.
That's right.
In Hollywood, plastic makes perfect, Lisa.
Exactly.
I was just curious if you remembered that Justin Timberlake was Britney's boyfriend.
Ouch!
That's all good, brother.
All right. Get control of the helicopter. No,
That's
I didn't.
Okay.
I did not know that. Well, the truth falls close to the tree sometime. This is
my brother's very well informed.
I'm not informed.
Obviously.
I'm a celebutard. By the way, Kevin, can you refer to me as D-Row for the remainder of the interview, please? Where are you going to be stationed in L.A. until you finish this album, or are you actually going to start traveling?
I'm here for right now. We'll probably go run around a little bit, but not too much until it's done.
Kevin, I'm hearing acting in your voice. Is this what's in the future, the silver screen? Are you taking acting lessons?
Nah, man. I want to do this music thing more than anything right now.
Is this a lifelong dream? Is this something that you had as a child?
I thought about it a lot when I was a kid.
Did you ever want to be anything else? Was there ever any kind of a occupation that you thought, hey, I'd be that as well, and then you sort of steered this?
That was the dance thing. I took the dance move to come and try to do the music. So.
How did you start dancing? Did you study?
Yeah, this is interesting.
When I was 13, I just started dancing in the street.
Oh, doing like break dancing and you put down the cardboard?
Yeah, a bunch of hip-hop stuff, break dancing. So.
And you were good?
I wound up getting good when I was like 18.
Is this something that you still practice? Do you have a dance studio at home and where you're living with Brittany, or do you have something with mirrors and you work out on this, or is this just...
Yeah, definitely, always.
What kind of music you dancing to these days when you put in an hour and a half on the bricks? What music are you playing when you're dancing there?
Mostly hip-hop and rap stuff.
Which hip-hop and rap would you put on?
Some Jay-Z or some Nas or some
Okay, I get the picture. This is good stuff.
So Kevin, you sound tired.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's 6 o'clock in the morning over here.
Oh, God, fake it.
He sounds tired because he's got that wife. Come on. He needs to listen in on the diet
I think
part
she's
of the
there with him.
Say hello for us.
Definitely.
Outstanding. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Federline, our very, very special guest. Kevin, our support and our salute goes to you, man. Summit or plummet, top or drop. Thanks for calling Roth Radio. God bless. This is Kevin's song. Check it out. Sounds like down where I live. We have some extra hot sauce?
Yeah, man.
I hear a Britney influence.
Very much.
But it's not toxic. I dig this.
I like it.
This guy could be the dark horse card trick. He's got so much pizzazz, not on the phone, but he's got so much pizzazz in his presence. He's the one guy who could possibly, like Tom Arnold, hooked up with Roseanne. And now look.
Yep.
He's bigger than she was, blah, blah. I think there's a potential here.
Yep.
Homeboy could actually do the Statue of Liberty play and take it all the way to the bank, huh?
Yep.
I've seen crazier on Roth Radio.
So how powerful is the press when it comes to determining someone's future?
Oh, absolutely not. I think the critics, for the most part, are very unhappy folks who, by and large, sit in windowless little cubicles and, you know, aren't so much involved in what's really going on in the streets. It happens inside their skull. If the critics had impact, I would never have had a career. I got my first bad review from the New LA Times 2 years before the first Van Halen album. Remember when Led Zeppelin was hated? I'm still hated by Rolling Stone. I'm hated by, not Page Six, but what's the other one? No, it can only call a little attention to what's going on, and if there's conflict, so much the better. Because then you want to find out why somebody's so upset. You want to find out why the critics are squealing like little wieners on a barbecue, hissing, tss. Pay attention to that. And when you have this much conflict for somebody like Federline, is he, isn't he? Is he good? Is he bad? Does he even belong here? Whatever. Now you want to pay attention. Most people run to a thing because we see other people running to it.
Okay.
And the press certainly throws a spotlight, says this exists. But if bad reviews actually qualified, you wouldn't have 2/3 of the jazz music, the rock music, or the country that's on the radio today or even 40 years ago. It creates a little bit of a spotlight. Anyways, Roth Radio, what are you pointing at? Somebody wants to talk about, I can't tell if it's Brittany or KFED. Go ahead, Scott. You're on. Roth Radio, get it.
Hey, how you doing?
Go ahead, Brent.
Great show, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was just looking through the Daily News, listening to you, and they have a picture of Britney Spears here, and it says, Britney Spears and Brother Brian, hoof it in Malibu after her Ferrari died. Paparazzi helped push the car, and sheriff gave a pair, the pair a ride home. But hubby Kevin Federline was not in sight.
Okay, I see the picture here in front of her. What is the attraction, do you think, to Britney Spears? Is it her voice? Is it her appearance? What is it? Because this picture is not terribly...
The picture is not flattering at all.
Okay, so what's the attraction to Britney Spears? Examine this with us, if you would. Go ahead.
I have no idea. I mean, she had a good voice, then it was revealed that it was all digitized.
Okay, Lisa, what do you think is the attraction to Britney Spears here?
You know what? This is a question I've actually asked you before. I don't know.
The attraction is the Ferrari for this particular article here. I think she represents a whole nation of, what was the show, American Idol, kind of an approach to that, you know, the girl next door. Really is the girl next door. Used to be that, you know, you would say... so-and-so, she's like the girl next door, but was always a little bit better, a little bit more, you know, whether it was an actress or a model. Now the girl next door really is the girl next door. I don't know about Britney because I'm not as familiar with her her show, her onstage presence mm-hmm. or whatever. But I remember when Janet Jackson was, really early 90s, and then you had Gloria Estefan and whatever, and then... I called it, they would get up on the boards and they'd start moving up and down because they're kind of chunky and they can't really move it around, probably like Kevin does, you follow, but they're kind of chunky and they kind of go up and down and pump up and down and pump it up and down like a bad bar mitzvah nightmare, you know, where the kids go up and go to the band leader, can I sing a song?
Gotcha.
And they start humping up and down and up and down. The girl next door actually is the girl next door. There's no more romanticizing it in all of her good and her bad. Which of these girls is your favorite? You know, you got Aguilera, you got Britney.
Well, Aguilera has an amazing voice, you got to admit.
Well, that's because she's got a checkered past. She's got a...
she has an amazing voice.
That's why she has an amazing voice. Who else has got there? Michelle Branch? Is she still putting out stuff?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, she. I was just handed a note that Britney bought the Ferrari for her brother.
For her brother or for Kevin?
For her brother.
Kevin.
Okay, well.
Oh. Well, in the article it says it was her brother's Ferrari.
Who cares? It's the family, right?
Okay.
People give cars to each other?
Britney bought it for whoever.
Who has the car now that J-Lo gave to Bennifer? Because she gave him... No, there was a problem. She gave a
Rolls or a Corniche or something?
Yeah, something like $500,000.
Or he gave her that.
Yeah, and then she gave it back or something. It broke up. Where is the car? Do you get to drive off in the car?
Oh, what happened to the car?
Car cash. Car cash,
boy. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. Only the most important stuff. Don't go away. We're coming back. I warned you.
David Lee Roth in the mornings.
Welcome to Club Dave, where it only rains when we say so.
Club Dave へようこそ。ここでは私たちが雨を降らせます。
So was that... Was that Britney whipping Kevin into shape, or was that Kevin whipping himself into shape, or is he trying to whip Britney back into shape, or what's going on?
My God.
The shape of things to come here. Go ahead and pick a number on the telephones there, any number at all, Hutch, because the phone lines have lit up. This is a subject, this is as big as Iraq. So, go ahead, whatever number you are, Roth Radio, you're good to go. Go ahead.
Hi. Hello?
Who is this, the guy from the show?
No, this should be Danielle.
Okay, Danielle, you're on.
Yes,
what's cooking?
It is.
What's cooking?
Hi, everybody. Good morning.
You sound like the guy from American Idol.
I sound like the guy from American Idol.
Yeah, you do. We've never seen the two of you in a room together. Coincidence, perhaps. What's on your mind, my friend?
I sound like a guy or a girl.
Go ahead, Danielle, you're on.
Just commenting about Britney Spears of why she was hot back when she used to do the Toxic video. You know, when she was in shape and she was creating the controversy, she was kissing Madonna and everybody was just into that, you know, the girl-on-girl action. I think that's what, you know, blew everybody's head off was that, you know, she was coming into of age, she was young when she was performing in the beginning. Then she, you know, she started to develop and she just, you know, everybody was just...
Oh, wait a minute. So what you're
saying
is... Not quite a girl. not yet a woman. Go ahead, you're back.
There you go. Exactly.
Anyways, do you like Britney? You're a Britney fan?
It's not really.
Are you a Kevin Federline
maybe,
fan?
Maybe back in the day. I think she's cute. I think she used to dance really well. But I don't, you know, I really didn't care for her voice. I don't think she really sang
But
well.
More importantly, do you think they're the next Bobby and Whitney?
Definitely.
I love you, Danielle. Thanks for calling. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. I would be delighted if they become the new Bobby and Whitney. At least that's your favorite reality series, isn't
it? Yes, it is.
Why is it your favorite?
Well, like I said yesterday, it seems like the least manipulated. Like, I feel like we're really getting a taste for who they are.
Good, bad, or in the middle, huh?
All of the above.
This is going to be interesting to see what happens with Kevin and Brittany, because it's the same kind of highway.
They already had their reality show. Did you know that? That they filmed their courtship. And
no.
They, it may have been VH1, put it on as a reality series.
But was this the kind of courtship like Flava Flav and Bridget Nielsen, which is my favorite courtship
of the entire
year?
They filmed the whole thing themselves. Not knowing it was going to become a TV show at some point.
Oh, they never knew it was going to become a TV show. Right. Come on, man. Whatever happened to Flava Flav? Because he had a big romance that was on VH1 as well. Go ahead, Animal.
He got a new show out. Now he's looking for
a
wife. He got a reality show come on every Sunday now. He's been like giving him, he'll give you a clock. That means you come back the next show.
Wait a minute. Is he based in New York? Is Flav based in New York?
He's from the East Coast. Yeah.
We got to get him on the show because he's my new.
I love him.
Well, he is my new Buddhist hero after Paris Hilton.
I can make a few calls. I might catch up with him. I know some of his people.
We should try and locate him because he's a spiritual advisor. I'm going to hold Flava Flav as probably my new spiritual advisor, even more paramount than Paris Hilton.
I wish you could have gotten him here this week while I'm here.
You never know. Yeah.
As soon as I get off the air, we'll make a few phone calls. I actually know him and I know some of his people, so I might can hook it up.
He may have a reflection on playing out your romance in the public view because, you know, he had one of the most ruptured romances on television with Bridget Nielsen, Stallone's ex, you know, the tall gal.
And she showed up on his reality show the second time, I think. She came in, but I didn't get a chance to see it because I had to go somewhere.
Oh,
so
unplanned, I'm sure.
Yeah.
What's wrong with these people? Are actors stupid?
I believe so.
Are actresses just stupid? Is that what's going on?
They start out stupid and try to get some sense in the end, I guess.
What's going on?
You know, like up is down, down is up.
Why are you asking?
Well, there's a whole lot of issues here. You know, you've got, what's her name? Nick Kidman breaks up with Keith Urban, right? And then.
Ooh, lucky me.
There you go. But. Because people keep making these same mistakes. Didn't Sandra Bullock just try and date a biker or whatever?
She's married to him.
Oh, that's a successful outing?
Yes, it is.
Ah, then we may be able to get a reflection from them as well.
Okay.
What's his name? He has a television show that's really cool.
Yeah, I don't know his name.
Monster Garage, I think, is the name of his routine here. But let's see what Krista thinks about all of this. Number 14, Krista, Roth Radio, you're good to go. Are you on, Krista? How are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. Thanks for letting me on. I want to say I love the show. I listen every morning.
Thank you.
I'm a secretary over in Long Island, so you're all I have to listen to.
Outstanding.
And I was thinking about this whole Kevin Federline thing.
Please, share with us.
Oh, well, he wasn't anything until Britney Spears came along.
Really?
He was with that other girl. He was raising that baby, quote unquote. And then he leaves her, up and leaves her and the baby.
And he didn't even bother dangling the baby over a balcony like a true superstar.
Like Michael Jackson. I mean, come on. Where's your manners there?
Okay, so are you saying that this impacts on the quality of his work or that he was just lucky into the spotlight?
He shouldn't be a celebrity. I think that he's nothing. He's just like me.
He's opportunist.
He's a normal, everyday guy. He just got a break. That's like me dating some celebrity and now I'm somebody. You know what I mean?
I sure do. Now, what about Mariah Carey? Share with us your reflection on her because she just had a number one album, Define has a great voice, absolutely inarguably has a self-destructive checkered past, which I always love to go along with the liner notes. Mm-hmm. And she kind of, what do they call it down in Virginia? She married up.
Yeah, she married up. Yeah, she definitely did.
Same issue?
I think that she has genuine talent, like real genuine talent.
So you say that it's okay to marry up or follow some political agenda there, but as long as you get to the top of the stairs, that you have actual talent?
I think that it's most important to be happy, but I think that in her case, the only way she was going to be happy is if she was able to do this. You know, some women are into that. Some women want to climb the ladder and do whatever they can to get with a rich guy because that's what they want. They want to sit around their whole life.
So what's the difference between that and perhaps what Kevin's doing? And I'm even saying perhaps because you don't know. They might have bumped into each other. And as far as, you know, like Whitney and Bobby, I think there's actual love there. I think there's actual empathy there. They seem like two trains colliding, going opposite directions. But there's an actual affection as opposed to affectation. And I'm wondering if that's actually happened with Brittany and her homeboy. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that, you know, now that they've had the baby, I think it's simmered down a bit, you know what I mean? But that happens after every couple has a baby. And I also think all these young celebrities now are having babies. You know, all these girls are 20, 30 years old, well, 20 years old, they're around my age, and they're all having kids. You
and you're, and you're saying that they're not thinking this through, that this is just like Paris Hilton's chihuahua. It's another accessory to go along with your wardrobe, yeah?
I don't think that they're really thinking it all the way through, because then they divorce these guys 2-3 months later.
I'm you know with you.
Mean? And then it's broken families all over again, you know, and I just feel bad for the kids. They're stuck in the middle.
Yeah, but I feel great for Page Six, Grist for the Mill. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. DavidLeeRoth.com. We're worldwide. We are around the world. Okay, Rich, talk to me. Roth Radio, you're in the spot. Go, baby. Rich, are you on, Rich? We lost Rich. There he is.
There he is.
Go ahead, Rich. I'm going to give you one more shot, Rich. Go.
There?
Yeah, go ahead, Rich. You're fizzling. Rich, you've been abducted by aliens. Remove the probe. Give us a call when you pull the probe. Billy, he wants to talk about this as well. Go ahead, number six. Billy, you're on Roth Radio.
Hey, D-Ro, how are you?
Yo, good to go.
I wanted to comment about Zach from American Idol.
Oh, please do. Huh. That's something that'll never escape our memory.
What your sister forgot to tell you was he was wearing 6-inch heels.
Yes, he was wearing boots.
Pants, a woman's belt, a woman's shirt, lip gloss,
a woman's
and
voice.
A woman's haircut.
This is Kevin Federline?
The real controversy was, if you play the clip again, when he's talking after he was singing, the producers put on the theme to The Crying Game.
Oh, no.
You missed that when he was talking.
Oh, somebody behind the...
Crying Game.
Somebody behind the scenes has
almost peed my pants.
Somebody behind the scenes has an extraordinary sense of humor.
I'm impressed that you recognize that theme song.
Don't look at me. Look,
not you, him.
Actually, my wife says, "Oh my God, they're playing the theme song to The Crying Game."
That you may have issues with your wife that you want to explore after this interview. But I also remember that's the first best. I'm going to give you right away the mic and say that's the first best behind the scenes. Somebody dialing in the music. The first best, actually the second best that I ever saw was about, I don't know, 7 years ago. I was here in New York City. And they were doing one of those Ripley Believe It or Not stories, you know. And 900 metric tons of pizza dough are consumed in New York State in one 24-hour phase. And then they cut to the hot dog factory where it's Sabrett's hot dogs or whatever. And the hot dogs are spitting out of the machine onto the really fast conveyor belt. And the guy's going, 723,000 of hot dogs are consumed in one afternoon in New York City. And in the background, they're playing an instrumental version of Madonna. Donna's Like a Virgin. Somebody's got a sense of humor. I love it. So what do you think? Was this actually a guy or a girl? Are you still on there? Give me.
I think it was a guy who wants to be a girl. He was extremely, extremely effeminate.
This is interesting.
Really was.
And did they dismiss him? He's not in the running anymore, right?
I think the judges were extremely kind to him.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like to me.
It's exactly what you said. Someone brings in an albino elephant. You're not supposed to notice that?
Come on. He's wearing it on his sleeve.
I
didn't say anything mean to him at all.
Okay, Lise?
I have to say, though, his naivete, if it's honest,
yeah.
I actually admire that. I do.
Oh, that he's just guileless, like Paris Hilton. He just.
How does every conversation keep coming back to
it's my
Paris
guru. It's my
Got
guru.
It.
It's okay. My guru.
All right.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Forgot.
Okay. Anyway, Roth Family Breakfast. David Lee Roth, my special guest, superstar Lisa Roth, here in New York City. For how long do you want to stick with this?
Do I have a choice?
No. Animal. You're going to find Flava Flav because he's going to weigh in on celeb romances.
Yeah,
here.
I'm going to make a few phone calls after this show so can I catch up with him.
He's my guru.
Your guru?
Flava Flav is your guru?
Love him.
He's amazing. Again, that's like
being... I like his laugh.
it's like being there, the movie. Chauncey Gardner, Peter Sellers played that guy, you know?
Yeah.
He has no idea just how cool he really is. Flava Flav!
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings.
But can't you see I'm gone?
How did you like my montage?
That was beautiful.
It was like theater of the mind.
You are a true artiste.
Well, actually, it was Hutch who was the pilot. I'm just the navigator.
But you had the vision. Come on.
Did you see how that we went from William Hung into Toxic because she bangs, and then we whipped her into shape, and we put on Rick James, which is, vastly superior spiritually, just from a visor. Turn up the music, Hutch. Turn up. Ryan Young in the background. Go! Well, the jury is still out on Kevin Federline because he's got a new single coming out. Great title, though. Popa Zhao. That's how you say, that's how you would say, you use that kind of an accent in Portuguese. You go, Popa Zhao. You say, what's happening? Do like that. Anyways, Kevin stands okay with me. As you know, the jury is still out. We're going to hear the music. We're going to see the show. I'm going to give him a salute here. But here's a different kind of salute coming from Page Six, where the only news that's fit for this show comes from. A steamy sex scene between Katie Holmes and Aaron Eckhart, I don't know who he is, has been mysteriously snipped out of the version of Thank You for Smoking being screened at the Sundance Film Festival. Are you Katie Holmes fan, Lise?
Do you know? I only know her because of the Tom Cruise
Dawson's Creek or whatever.
Never saw it. I'm familiar with her.
She looks really young to me. I bet you
she is young.
I bet you she looks really young to Tom, too. Anyway,
I think so.
In the flick, based on the bestseller by Chris Buckley, Holmes, who plays an investigative reporter, has a randy romp. But then it seemed to vanish. The scene has vanished from the Sundance screenings, causing some to wonder if Holmes' fiancé, Tom Cruise, used his staggering showbiz clout to kill the footage. And a spokesman from Fox Searchlight says, it's never been altered, and it'll be released with the scene, but we don't know what happened. We're looking into it. Do you think Tom intervened? I absolutely do. What do you think?
I would think so. But as I read on in a different article,
sure.
I guess it's the scene has reappeared, or it is guaranteed that it will be in the wide release.
Yeah, but what's this nonsense about not showing it in front of your peer group at the Sundance Film Festival? Isn't that the zenith of filmmaking, confab of the zenith, the top of the filmmaking and whatever? And now that Tom has stood up and talked about women's drug use, he had his big conflict with... What's her name? About
Brooke Shields.
Brooke Shields. What was the drug that she was taking?
She was taking a drug for postpartum depression.
Okay. And Tom had a certain take on that. As that it was incorrect and that it didn't seem like a very modern take, right?
Well, not necessarily not modern. It was uninformed. It was very biased.
Okay. And what about making sure that your wife or your wife-to-be's sex scene, harmless, boring, flat-chested sex scene, doesn't wind up in a trial of guilty by your peers?
I take exception to the flat-chested part, but going along with what you're
maybe
saying.
Maybe it's your diet. Whip up some welfare pizza for my sister there, animal. Okay. See if she can grow some boobs.
I
got
hook her red up.
You're gonna ruin her speed skating.
Yeah, I'm gonna hook her red up.
You're gonna ruin her speed skating career. Anyways, yeah. Lisa, you're back on.
I'm flummoxed. No, along with what you're saying, I believe that Tom Cruise could be powerful enough and self-centered enough and have enough agenda to do that. However, when it comes to the press, you cross a line at some point where I'm a cynical, you know, I'm a very cynical girl. And I would say, yes, Tom Cruise did that. At some point, though, you start to wonder if the press hasn't taken the ball and run with it, and now he's a victim.
Okay. Maybe somebody give us a buzz and let us know what the truth of the matter is. I don't know. Does Tom have a publicist or whatever?
Well, his sister was, and he fired her.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. That doesn't bode well for me.
Nobody gives me great ideas. Roth Radio's from sea to shining sea. Okay, I'm going to leave. The jury's going to stay out on him, but there's a dummy. Kidman and Urban engagement fall off. Country singing star Keith Urban is on top of the world professionally, having sold more than 3 million copies of Be Here. But apparently his romance with Nicole Kidman. See how I dovetailed this 6 degrees of separation? I went from Tom to Kidman.
Right. They were an item.
We'll replay this for you later. Okay. According to the British tabloid, Kidman, who has been wearing a 3.5-carat engagement ring, reportedly given to her by country star Urban, has broken off the engagement, citing concerns that the musician may fall back on his former womanizing and drug-using ways. And then you get Urban's former fiance, Laura Sigler, who didn't seem surprised by this at all. And she wrote, "I knew it wouldn't last. Keith is charming, very charismatic, but he ain't reliable. He had numerous flings, and there's a dark side to him. He was a drunk and a drug user, but I loved running with the devil. He has an attitude." See, got it past you. I told you, wake up for the last hour, kid. What is she, stupid? What, she got a brain like Swiss cheese? Come on.
Be a little charitable. We all screw up when it comes to relationships. Let's hear about a few of yours.
Okay.
What makes her a dummy?
My last girlfriend?
She was seduced by the good looks. He's a singer.
No,
all women
this is a
singers.
Specialist because she's coming hot off the track. Wasn't she playing around with Lenny Kravitz? This is somebody who's looking
another
for...
another sexy guy.
Okay, but she's playing games with
Although
outlaws.
Although he does look like he smells a little.
Well, he smells like downtown smell. Yeah. That's part of the look is the smell.
But I dig him. I like him.
I do too.
Yeah.
But what's she doing playing around with all these danger boys? Come on.
Yeah, like she's the only woman on earth that falls for a musician.
No. She's the only woman on earth who's surprised when she finds out that it's a disaster in the making.
Who said she's surprised?
Me on Roth Radio. All of these characters, and they get the promotion people, the publicists, and everybody to, you know, to throw another chair on the fire. Let's bury this. Let's spin this and whatever. And I'm going to dovetail finally to our new friend, Isaac Mizrahi. We were talking about this yesterday.
We're back where we started.
Yeah. Do you have a take on what Isaac is going through now? Now that we've read through some of the lunacy that's happening today at the upper end of the Billboard charts, supposedly. What do you think of what's happening to Isaac now? And then let me clarify. I'm going to read it here while you think of your
editorial.
Would
you clarify, please?
The big wigs at E! Channel are standing by controversial fashion designer Isaac Mizrahi after he was heavily criticized for his frisky behavior and outrageous comments to celebs at the Golden Globe Awards, okay? He groped actress Terry Hatcher, thanks. Scarlett Johansson, I'd grope her too. Asked Eva Longoria if the carpet matched the drapes in terms of her pubic hair and insisted on going through handbags. Well, none of the stars have complained about his behavior. There again, here's the gay and lesbian alliance, fresh from their recent appearance over at American Idol, have complained about comments made to Charlize Theron about her Oscar-winning performance Monster. We wanted someone who would bring surprises, they say. However, the people behind the Academy Awards are planning to discuss the red carpet coverage to ensure that guests aren't insulted by Mizrahi.
Aw.
Come on. Well, now I'm speechless. Now I'm speechless. In fact, I'm not speechless. I'm so sick of you little pencil weenie sissies who continually to claim it's time for free speech, that it's time for us to act as artists, that artists lead the way, and then you apply the same sick freaking thumb on your own kind. The people who go the farthest out there, the people who go the most deep in terms of, hey, let's really investigate something. Let's investigate the humor. Let's investigate what we take seriously, and should we take it so seriously? And now you're going to put the thumb on that guy's genius in terms of his sense of humor and his wherewithal. He's the latest, newest thing since you ripped off Kathy Griffin. And how many of you big sissies are going to use your heavy-duty power in the background to extract scenes out of movies and to silence comics with your sissy little red carpet trivial little parade of clowns and subpar intellects? Lise, would you like to speak today?
You, David, are my new guru.
I'm sick of it.
I am too.
I'm real sick of it. What's next? The thumb gonna come down here? Bring it.
Bring it.
Yeah. Bring
I'm
it.
With you.
Oh, I'm not Dee Snider sitting in front of the Parents Resource Music Commission. Yeah. You bring it. You aim it this way. When I hear about guys with that much clout and that much class and that much money, Tom should just show up and say, that wasn't me. That was somebody else. And if it was you, screw you, Tom. And Spielberg, if that wasn't you, have somebody call me up and say, nah, we didn't lean on Kathy Griffin because of her comments. She made some rehab thing about Dakota Fanning or whatever. It says in page 6 that it may well have been Spielberg. Steve, if it was you, a longtime fan, please tell me, if it wasn't you, have somebody radio in. Because if it was you, screw you. Want to speak to that, Liz?
I can't follow that up. I'm with you.
Hey, our Uncle Manny was on the first guy on the show. He's 86 years old. Started off back in the village, back in the early 50s, when this kind of material, this kind of humor, and this kind of access to public forum in use of humor became popular. It was a generational prison break that we should protect dearly. And I don't care if it's Kathy Griffin or Mizrahi. I don't care if it's the guys on American Idol or whatever. If you use yourself to get into the spotlight, if you're going to march down into the middle of Times Square, then we're going to judge you like a thoroughbred. We're going to start at the fetlocks. We're going to work our way up to the withers. And if I don't like your horse, then we're going to comment on the stripes, okay? And that is how we advance the culture. That's how we advance politics. That's how we advance humor. Without humor, what do you got? You got guts. You got nothing here. I'm getting a little bit irate about this. I'm almost hoping somebody brings a little trouble here. Roth Radio, New York, yeah. Philly, Dallas, Cleveland, Pittsburgh.
Yakima.
Let's see what Lori thinks about this. Dial 5 and no jive there. Roth Radio, you're in the spotlight. Go.
Hello?
Lori, are you there?
Hello.
Go ahead, Lori.
Yes. My thought on this is that Nicole Kidman might want a real live person instead of the Ken doll that Tom Cruise has been, that she had been tied up with all these years.
No, I think she probably just wants to dip into the pirate pool and see if she can change somebody Pygmalion style. Lise, what do you think?
That's harsh.
No, I don't believe that could never happen. No, he had a marriage with Mimi Rogers, a woman who did not even want to speak about what happened with him.
So much for his taste.
Was very quiet, and then she was a very nice woman with him all these years. Adopted 2 children. All of this, you know, very quiet, very
what,
nice.
What is this,
nice
Pat
event.
Kingsley? This is Pat Kingsley, his ex-publicist.
I love it when listeners talk about celebrities like they know them. That's always very
especially somebody like Tom Cruise, a full-blown Thetan Scientologist, whatever. Do we got time for one more here? I see something up on the board here that is magic. I see 2 words you don't usually see in one sentence, medication and Tom Cruise, though I think it might be a good idea. Roth Radio, you're on. Joe, talk to me.
Hey, Dave, how? What's happening? Tom Cruise is whack. My wife was on medication for postpartum. It saved our marriage. This guy's cooked. He should be on medication, you know?
And what do you think about him removing, if in fact he did, removing his wife's boring little sex scene? Does he now own her? Hey, how about a burka? Is that next?
I think he's just insecure, Tom, because all these other women left him because he had a small swing.
Go ahead, Lise. You got a thought?
No, you know what? There's a call about free speech, and I know we're almost done here.
Yeah.
And I honestly, authentically feel what you were saying, and I would like to hear what that caller has
to say. Go ahead. Put it on. Free speech. You're on. Last call of the day. Roth Radio.
Yeah, you know, I think you're totally on the money. A burqa is next. I mean, it's pitiful. I'm thinking that the real people, maybe the East Coast people, or maybe people that are artists, what have you, that's what makes us different and special. I want to hear the real deal. I don't want to hear some pap, you know, nonsense that is created for the mass America. I want to hear, and I respect an artist that speaks their minds, even if it's not politically correct. And even if it goes against the grain of society completely,
I think,
you know,
that I think it's
that's
more.
What it's about.
I think it's way more important than the actual work itself. We pay so much attention to lifestyle. We pay so much attention to the politics. We pay so much attention to the sexual orientation today. Where's the humor that's actually going to throw a spotlight onto all of that? Because the rest of it is press, it's promotion, it's hype, it's result-oriented showbiz. Again, I don't know nothing about politics, but I do know showbiz. Especially when I see mediocre showbiz. Don't make a comment, Lisa. Roth Radio. I'm David Lee Roth. My special guest, Lisa Roth. Did you have a good time, kid?
I had a blast.
You coming back tomorrow?
I would love to.
Steven Spielberg may be sending his attorneys after us.
Bring them on.
I'm going to have to cut your nude scene out of tomorrow's movie. I'm going to have to leave that biker you're dating at the door.
Uh-oh.
We're going to force you to eat some welfare pizza that Animal's going to make. And we're all going to take diet pills until we poop our brains out.
Woo!
David Lee Roth in the morning.